This is the Uncensored Voice. No bullshit, just real shit.
Discussing things that will stir the pot. Only here on the Uncensored Voice.
With your hosts, Ricky Midnight and Randy Savage.
Hi, this is Ricky Midnight.
And this is Randy Savage.
And today we're going to be talking from the Uncensored Voice about why children are more feminine now than they used to be years ago.
That is absolutely correct. You see and hear things now that you didn't see or hear when we were kids.
Well, a good example would be cry rooms. Who the hell in our generation when we were kids would have thought about a cry room?
I never heard of that until just now.
You've never heard of cry rooms?
No, I mean, I have a 17-year-old daughter, but...
Okay, well, let me tell you. Let me tell you a little bit about a cry room. Yeah,
time out, but
I used to work for a school, and I saw them employing cry rooms. I had heard about it in the news a couple of months earlier, and then we got our first cry room. We have several cry rooms, but we actually have rooms. They're little pods, which are just large enough for a person to go into. They're fairly soundproof rooms. And you can see out, so you can get a little sunlight coming in, and you can sit in there and reflect on your thoughts, and you can cry, and people really can't see you other than make out your silhouette, so they don't know if you're crying, you're making ugly faces as you're bawling like a child inside of your cry room. But yeah, a lot of schools are employing cry rooms, or have employed, not just schools, they're, you know, universities. There's banks.
Hold on, you said universities.
Yes.
These are adults.
These are adults, yeah. We're not talking about 4 or 5 year old children. We're talking
about
25, 35 year old. What's that?
Your employer doesn't give a shit if you want to cry
or
not.
Oh, yeah, yeah. In order to be, you know,
blows my mind, man.
Yeah. Well, in order to be PC, you need to give your employees cry rooms so they can feel safe. So, for example...
Oh, my God. Now I heard it all. Man.
Yeah. So, for example, I'm the manager of Whataburger, and you're one of the employees there at Whataburger,
yeah.
And you're doing subpar job. If I came to you, Randy, if I said, Randy, I'm going to need to talk to you for a moment. I don't think that you're quite doing what I asked you to do. I asked you to make this hamburger in this way, but you're doing it in a different way. We need to go through this a little bit more. We need to, you know, look at your training. You're overspicing it, or you're doing this wrong, or you're doing that wrong. And if I hurt your feelings, I need to give you a place to go and reflect on your thoughts and cuss me out or do whatever you do in a cry room. I don't know. I've never been in a cry room, but I've seen them. And so, Randy, you go off to your cry room and you cry for a little bit.
Will I be fired?
No, I can't fire you for going to your cry room because that's where you feel safe, and I can't take away your safe haven.
My safe area?
Your safe area and your cry room.
Gosh, thank you so much. I'm probably going to cuss you out when I go in there.
Can you imagine our society
and scream.
Can you imagine our society has come down to this with cry rooms?
No, it comes down to you need to be a freaking adult.
You need to grow
and
up here.
And do your damn job.
You need to grow up here
take
or get your ass fired.
Take constructive criticism and do your job. Don't. The one thing I've learned throughout my career... You know, my work career is don't take things personally.
Don't take it personally.
You do your job, your boss will be happy.
But
not
there are
personal.
There are actually cry rooms, and I've seen them firsthand.
Do you have any examples of where these are? At least the industries that they're in?
Like I said, universities, schools have them, but it's banks. I mean, it's, you know, usually where there's larger buildings. Like, we'll use an example, and I don't know if they have it there, so don't quote me on that. But larger community working areas, say such as USAA might have them, or Randolph Brooks might have them.
The largest employer in San Antonio.
Yeah,
USAA.
Again, I don't know if USAA has them or Randolph Brooks has them, but generally larger areas that would have millennials that would possibly be working there need to have a cry room. Now, adults like you and me, Generation X or before, we don't need cry rooms. Right. But if you're the millennial generation or younger, which would be the millennials' children, then you need a cry room.
That is the worst idea I've ever heard.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious when they were putting them in. I'm like, are they really doing that? But I saw them on camera putting them in.
Well, Then that must be true.
Well, it is true.
I'd like to.
Yeah, they had cry rooms, and I actually saw several people going into these cry rooms, presumably to cry. I don't know if they went in there to just reflect on their feelings. They needed to get away because things were too stressful for them. And that's another issue. If you can't handle stress, you have a disorder that you need to have medication for, or you need to just get out of that job. You need to find a job that's less stressful for you.
Take the freaking job.
Yeah, whether it be, you know, working in a bookstore and, you know, or sweeping up a Dairy Queen or something that's less stressful. But if you're in a stressful situation and you need to have a cry room just to feel safe, then there's obviously a problem.
You're in a world of hurt, my friend.
Yeah. So, but no, I see cry rooms, believe it or not. And I wonder if anybody out there in our listening audience has seen a cry room.
If you have, let us know.
Yeah, if you have, let us know. Go to our website, which is anchor.fm/the uncensored voice.
Exactly. The app is free of charge. So
free of charge.
Is the app. So don't hesitate to get signed up for that. And, of course, you'll see all of our shows on there as well.
Yes, sir.
And we'll give you our contact information later on.
Later on in the podcast, we'll give you our contact information. But, yeah, so I think it's just getting worse. It's just continuously getting worse. The millennial generation needs cry rooms in order to feel good about themselves. They need to have a little safe haven so they can get away. About the size of a regular broom closet. So they can sit in there and reflect on their feelings. But my generation never had anything like that, nor did we want anything like that.
Now, are you aware of any scientific studies that says this might help? Or is this just some brainchild of somebody?
I'm not aware of it, but I have spoken with many millennials.
That have used this room?
That some of them have used it, and some of them never did use it, but they think it's a good idea. All of them think it's a good idea. To have a cry room, or I call it cry room. I don't know what they call it. They're also the generation who thinks that sexuality or gender is fluid, that you can change from man to female to male at the snap of a fingers or vice versa.
Like, did we have a show on that already?
Yeah, I think we did something like that. I'm not sure if we've put it out yet, but I think we did do something like that. But yeah, I think that since they're the generation who also think that that's acceptable, they think that a cry room is something that's necessity for workplace. And my view, you know, of course, again, I come from the generation where you need to grow a pair of balls, but my generation thinks that that's extremely unnecessary. Not only is it unnecessary, but it's actually inhibiting work. So if you walk away from your job to go to a cry room, your employer is still paying you.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you do
you clock out? But I don't think you do. If you're so upset, you run off bawling, you're not going to clock out. You're going to go straight to the cry room and cry and reflect on your feelings while you're still on the clock. So what the hell is that?
That is not productive for the amount of money that your employer would be paying you to cry.
Exactly. And not only that, I mean, I, for one, don't want a damn pansy who's going to work for me in any capacity.
Nope.
Now, if I was running a fairy farm where we're all running around catching butterflies and picking daisies, then that's fine. I'm going to hire a whole bunch of millennials and have some cry rooms so they can reflect on their feelings.
Tiptoeing through the tulips.
Yeah, but we're not doing that. I mean, why the hell would you put a cry room in any place? But I have seen it happen.
Gosh, I'm going to have to Google that. And for all you out there, all y'all out there listening, you know, take a look and see it, or let us know that of your experiences, of your knowledge of these types of, you know, rooms that you cry in. Do they really just cry in there, or can they do anything they want in there?
Well, maybe they can read a book.
Well,
I mean, if you have a cry room
for
reflection,
reasons, right?
Can you take your iPad in there and watch television while you're relaxing and getting over your anxiety? I guess you could do that, but the employer's still paying you a salary, so how the hell is that okay?
And I think that if this was a publicly traded company, the investors might have a problem with that.
I would have a problem with it.
But just the fact that you have to pay money for somebody to regroup should not be done
fire,
on the employer's
fire
time.
Fire their ass and hire someone with a pair.
Goodbye.
Yeah.
And you don't get unemployment.
Exactly. No unemployment. I mean, so, okay, that's cry rooms. Okay, so we talked a little bit about cry rooms.
Yep.
The reason why I think it's getting worse and worse and worse is because you're having these millennials who have to go to these cry rooms having children. So if you're feminine as all get out because you wear a man bun and you're a millennial who needs to go to a cry room and you raise children, are you going to raise your children masculine or are you going to raise them as feminine as you are, if not even more?
It's really sad because there's a lot of boys out there that, you know, still want to be in football and sports and stuff like that. But the generations that are spawning at this point in time are becoming, well,
more and more feminine.
Yeah. And
I mean,
it's really sad to see because, you know, they may not have made their choice in sexual preference or not, but it could be the start of something that could spawn to something like that.
Well,
that does not necessarily have to happen.
I vaguely remember hearing that, I forget what state it was, that they've now made it to where you can choose your sexual preference at the age of 16, and you can get your tallywhacker cut off and have some labia sewn in if you wanted to at that age.
They
at 16
is
as low. What they can sew in? They can sew in a vag?
Yeah.
You can have your tube steak chopped right off, and they can sew in a vag, which would be just a big ass opening.
What if they change their mind?
Well, then gender's fluid. Remember, you can have your vag sewn up, and then you know,
your old thing
take a finger or something, or grab a kielbasa from HEB and have that sewn on. Something like that.
I guess so. I mean, it just sounds very dumb.
Oh, it is very dumb. I mean, it's some pretty dumb stuff, but. You know, like
this is reality. I think this is the reality that we live in right now.
Well, like I said,
it's getting worse.
Yeah, like I said, you're having millennials who are already soft as it is, raising children, and those children are not going to be just as soft. They're going to be even more soft because you're raised by a soft millennial. So, as a society, we're getting more and more pansy as time goes on.
Now, what if these people get pissed off and there is no cry room? Is this going to be the start of a new crime issue?
I've seen that
like
first.
Shootings in schools and stuff like that?
I hope not. I hope people don't go postal on them. I mean, I haven't seen that before. I've never been witness to that before.
Well, they're deprived of their cry room.
I've been witness to people getting upset, millennials getting upset, and there's no cry room. So what they have done is they leave the building and run off. Oh yeah, during work hours and while they're still getting paid on hourly wage, they leave the building and they run off and cry for 2 or 3 hours at a time, and then they come back. Now keep in mind they're still on the clock and they were getting paid to go out there and cry.
No penalty.
No penalty, and their employer thinks it's okay, and we're just gonna go ahead and eat that 2 or 3 hours worth of salary while you went out there and cried, because if we make a big stink as an employer, then your civil rights will be trampled upon because you're a millennial and millennials like to cry. So these are the things.
Civil rights.
Yeah.
How does civil rights figure into that?
I have no idea. They're going to stretch it any way they want. These millennials will stretch it. Okay, how does wearing a skirt, you can legally do it, but how does wearing a skirt okay for a man to do? And we're not talking Scottish kilt where you go around with your junk swinging in the wind.
Yep.
But we're talking about a skirt. Now, if I, as an employer, were to tell you, you can't run around wearing a skirt. Now, I don't have a uniform policy.
All right.
Okay. Say it's a law firm. I don't have a uniform policy. You walk in there with a skirt, I would be in the wrong to tell you couldn't walk in there with a skirt.
Well, yeah, I can see how that could be the case. Now, if your employer or whoever, you know, if you're working or doing a job or whatever, they have a dress code that says, well, you can't do this. Well then that's going to spawn a lawsuit. And then
a dress code is a different story.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, I know of a police officer who was working for a busing company here in San Antonio. I don't want to mention their name, but they're the main busing company here in San Antonio. And he was a regular police officer. Well, he decided one day he wanted to let his hair start growing long because he found out that he did one of these DNA 23andMe. You know what I'm talking about, 23andMe tests?
Oh, well, I know that a lot of DNA companies are doing.
Yeah.
You give us your DNA, and we'll tell you where you
came
from.
You who you're related to.
Now they want to identify with
this and that. So he goes off and has his 23andMe or whatever it was. He had his DNA test done, and he finds out he's part Indian. So he figures to himself, I'm going to embrace the Indian culture. I'm going to grow my hair long and carry a tomahawk while he's on duty. Remember, he's a police officer.
This is real?
This is real. I know this man. I know this man. Okay? Yeah, okay. So he decides he's going to grow his hair long and carry a tomahawk, as well as his gun and everything else he has to carry. Okay? So he decides to start growing his hair long. Now, almost all police departments, almost all of them here in Texas, have a dress code where a male's hair cannot touch his collar.
Same is true in the U.S. military.
Yeah, okay. So, but his hair started getting longer. Well, when they told him that he had to cut his hair or he was going to get fired, he decides to run to the news.
Oh, my God.
The local news here in San Antonio. Oh, yeah.
The media.
So he runs to the news. What happened was he goes to the news and he tells them, well, hey, look, I've found out that I'm partial Indian. That's Native American. And it's part of our ingrained in our culture that we have long hair. And I think that the department should, you know, allow me to have long hair. Now, nobody else can have long hair in this department because they're not Indian and they didn't cry like I did. But since I cried, I want to have long hair. So the department, in order to backpedal, because they don't want to have a civil right issue with this
guy. Oh, my gosh.
This
God
guy,
forbid that.
Yeah.
This type of issue. My
in
gosh.
Order to backpedal, they immediately gave him a promotion to corporal.
What?
Yeah, they gave him a promotion to corporal.
And he didn't have to cut his hair anyway.
He didn't have to cut his hair. He could have his long hair, run around with his tomahawk.
Oh, my gosh. Now I've heard it all.
Oh, yeah. He can run around with his freaking tomahawk and his long hair.
And he had a real tomahawk?
Yeah, he had a real tomahawk. I saw him. I was right next to him, as close as I am to you.
How old and, was, or what, you know, age
this,
group
this
was?
Is about, this is about 6 or 7 years ago. About 7 years ago.
The individual was in their 30s or 20s or what?
Yeah, he was in his early 30s. He was a little bit younger than me. I guess he was about 10 or 15 years younger than me at the time.
This is a police department, folks.
Yeah, police department.
That is bending to political pressure,
yeah,
I guess.
So they promoted him to corporal. Now, I've heard that he's sergeant. Last I heard, he was sergeant. He's probably captain by now. But last I heard, he was sergeant. But so let that be a lesson to you, folks.
Let that sink in, guys.
Yeah,
let
if you're
sink in.
if you're a millennial and you feel that your rights are being trampled upon because you don't have cry rooms, then go ahead and make a complaint. Go on the news media, and you'll get yourself an instant promotion.
And the media is very liberally biased, and police departments that bow into this pressure, they want. Fix it to fix their image more than they want to do policing and having, you know, what I would refer to as cohesion in their workforce because you got one guy doing it and nobody else can do it.
Well, wasn't there a joke when Obama was president that he wanted to change uniforms to pink uniforms? Did you remember hearing about that?
I don't remember pink uniforms.
I think I heard something somebody was trying to and I think it was a joke.
Military uniforms?
Oh, no, not military. Police. They were going to try and put police in pink uniforms because it's less it's less scary
easier
when
on
a,
the eye or what?
Yeah, it's less scary when a police officer walks up to you wearing a pink uniform than if they walk up to you wearing a dark blue, a black, or a black and beige uniform.
So they're thinking about
scary.
The psychological impact of wearing a pink uniform.
Yeah, let's all just hug it out. Well, you know what? Why don't we just do like England and cops not carry guns? Let's just hug each other whenever there's something bad that happens.
It's really weird. Now, just going on a slight tangent, I watch some British police shows and they don't carry guns, and they haven't for a very long time.
They carry pepper spray and whistles.
But they don't carry guns, and I know this for a fact, but somehow their police are stable there.
Well, because those people were raised in a culture of respect, respecting the law. Now, not all of them respect the law. Look at Jack the Ripper. I mean, you know.
He didn't respect the law.
But there's not everyone who respects the law over there. But over there, as a general rule, they have respect for the law, and they have respect for each other. Where here in America... We're fostering a loathing for police, and we're fostering
it all goes back to hating the police.
Yeah, and we're fostering a hatred for those who don't help us cry. And I'm talking about millennials. So if you're a millennial,
by way of the cry room that we talked about,
if you're a millennial and you don't get your way, it's okay for you to hate that person because they're not allowing me to get my way. And it's okay for me as a millennial to throw a fit unless I have a cry room, where I can go to and get paid my hourly wage while I play with my iPad or my iPhone and just cry and sniffle and do whatever the hell they do in these car rooms.
Well, they probably wouldn't even cry. They just, you know, take a time out and do whatever
the
hell
they want
to do. Take a
time out, go play with their iPad.
They could play with something else, probably.
Go play with their little pinky or what's that? A pig goes flying with that Angry Birds. Go play Angry Birds or something, right?
Yeah, the Angry Birds.
So, but again,
that
these
is unacceptable, folks. But I guess it's really happening, according to you, Ricky.
Well, yeah. Remember, these millennials are raising their children. They're old enough now. Millennials are generally up to about 36 or 37 now. These millennials are raising children. They're old enough to have children.
In my opinion,
and they're turning them into pansies.
In my opinion, like you said, the generations are making themselves worse.
It's getting more
starting
and more pansy.
With the millennials in
you
their
know,
30s.
If we did like the time machine, the H.G. Wells movie, remember the time machine?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
If
that
we
was
went
a good movie.
Forward, yeah, if we went forward about, say, 5,000 years, I bet you everyone would be about as pansy as they could be. We'd all be wearing pink and we'd all be hugging it out. I'm very upset at you all. I'm upset at you too. Let's just hug this out. I bet you that's how things would be settled then.
Well, it's starting to happen now, unfortunately. I mean, but you have to resolve your differences, and if it has to be like a fight or whatever, you know, like when we were kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, you settled it. That
well,
was it.
Well, back when we were kids, you know, yeah, we'd fight it out. Of course, I'd usually be beating the shit out of some kid.
According to Ricky here, he's the one that kicked everybody's ass.
Well, yeah, you better believe I did.
Everybody's
better
ass.
Believe
he
it.
Never lost a fight.
Never lost
I
a fight.
Could kick
better
your
believe
ass.
It. Better. You can kick my ass. You couldn't kick my ass if I was in a coma and handcuffed to the bed.
I knew it was coming. Okay. Well,
I could be in a coma, handcuffed to the bed, with both my legs amputated, and you'd still lose.
Oh, I want to ask you, how many fingers am I holding up?
Well, you're holding up one finger. It looks like you're putting it up your ass right now, though.
Okay. Well, if I told you I was going to stick this one up your ass, you'd...
Oh, no, it's already got ass juice on it. I'm going to have to decline.
He declines a finger up his ass.
So this is at least my take on why I think, you know, millennials and millennials' children are creating a more pansy society. I bet you, you know what, I was talking...
It's really sad that we have to witness this in our lifetime.
Yeah, I was talking the other day to a millennial. I'm going to tell you a real quick story, then we're going to go ahead and wrap this up. I was talking the other day to a millennial coworker, and I was sitting next to her at the same desk, and she was eating, I want to say it was McDonald's. She was eating a hamburger, and she had some chicken McNuggets next to it, right? And I was talking to another coworker who happened to be at another desk, which was fairly close, and I was saying something or another about me going hunting and harvesting the deer meat. Well, the female millennial I was originally speaking with or sitting right next to stated to me that she doesn't believe in killing animals.
This is funny.
And I asked, I said, well, what do you think you're eating?
Yeah,
yeah, and you know what her response was? And this kind of floored me. What do you think her response was?
Well, it was dead when I bought it, right?
Yeah, exactly. That was her response. It was already dead. What?
Which means at one point it was probably alive.
She didn't have to kill it. It was already dead. That's what she said. It was already dead. So I said, okay, so when you go to H-E-B and you buy some ground beef, which is red, it's not cooked, right? You go out and buy some ground beef. She goes, yeah, but it's already dead. Somebody already killed it.
And so in other words, I didn't have to kill it.
I didn't have to kill it. I didn't have to harvest my food. Somebody else harvested my food
for
me.
Murder, but yeah. So I could
so
eat.
I asked,
oh my gosh, now I've heard it all, man.
It's people like you, you know, and me, who are shoppers, who go there to buy the meat. If we didn't go there to buy the meat, then the person who would kill the meat wouldn't kill it, because there's no one to sell to. I said, so if it wasn't for you buying the dead meat, nobody would be there to kill the animal to supply the dead meat. And they couldn't get that correlation.
And you wouldn't have a barbecue or anything.
Yeah, she couldn't get that correlation. And I'm like, that hamburger you're eating right there
was alive. So she honestly
could
not comprehend that?
She couldn't get it. She's like, well, I didn't have to kill it. I said, well, I know you didn't have to kill it, but somebody killed it on your behalf. And well, I didn't have to kill it. I said, so what does
so
it matter?
Just because they didn't see it makes it better.
And then, of course, you know what my response was? Well, when I go off and kill the deer and harvest it and then process it and bring it to you to eat, you didn't have to kill it. So then you're going to eat it. She said, no, because it was killed. I said, well, then so was
but
that
you
hamburger.
You didn't kill it, right?
Yeah. Well,
you get to that right back in the
I did.
Area.
And my answer was, well, so was that hamburger. It used to be alive. It used to be an animal with big, beautiful eyes. You know, you ever look into a cow's eyes? If you ever look into a cow's eyes, they're real pretty eyes. They're dumber than a box of rocks or a bundle of sticks, but they have real pretty eyes. But we still kill them and eat them, don't we?
Oh, I'm thinking some really nice
hamburger, good.
Steaks and T-bone.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you want some sausage too, don't you?
We all know you like sausage.
No, I think you like the sausage.
See how he's trying to turn it back on me. we go back and forth like that. So just ignore that part.
Yeah, but so this is a millennial way of thinking.
Yeah,
I didn't have to kill it, therefore I didn't do bad. If somebody else killed it for me, they did the bad, so I'm okay. Now let me eat this and go to my cry room.
So they think themselves, I'm absolved of any responsibility.
Not going to go to hell for killing an innocent animal. I'm just eating it.
What's worse is they ate it.
Yeah, and she ate it. So I don't understand. I don't understand millennials.
It's one thing that they have to understand is the circle of life.
You know what I would like to do? Remember 21 Jump Street?
Yeah, I didn't really watch that show, but okay. I know about
okay,
the show.
Okay, I'm talking about the original with Johnny Depp.
Yeah, Johnny Depp.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
I would like to be able to be like a fly on the wall or in 21 Jump Street, go back to school, to high school, to see what the hell they're teaching these millennials. So I can kind of get an idea. Are they teaching them history? Are they teaching them sociology? What are they teaching these children in school? Do they not teach them anything at all? When they go to school or when they go to school, they come out with less knowledge than I did when I was in fourth grade. I've been to Bill Miller or any of these other places, you know, fast food, and I've purposely tripped them up by giving them money that would make them think. For example, I went to a Bill Miller about 5-6 months ago. One of our barbecue shops. Yeah, I go to a barbecue shop in San Antonio. I'm going to a drive-thru, and the total, not the subtotal, but the actual total was, I think it was $4.51 or $4.52. I think it was $4.51. Let's say $4.51. So I give the girl a $5 bill and a penny. And she didn't know what to do. She was lost.
You enter it in and it gives you an even amount of change back.
Yeah, but she was lost. She had no clue what to do. She didn't know how to give me change back for that. So she called, believe it or not, the window was open. She called another employee up to the counter.
This puts the line back in.
Yeah, it slows it down a little bit.
Big time.
So she calls another employee who's about the same age. She was also millennial.
Well, that's no help.
Calls her. Well, it was help in this case. I don't know how it happened. It was a fluke. You're hearing about this fluke here.
You've heard it first.
She came up and she said, give him back 50 cents, two quarters. She didn't have to look at the register. She just said, give him back two quarters. And the other girl said, oh, okay. And she handed me back two quarters, and that was the end of it.
And the register was even.
And the register came out even. But I've seen this over and over again. I've seen them stuff like this.
Thanks for listening to The Uncensored Voice.
Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And remember, on The Uncensored Voice, we tell it like it is.
So be safe, my friends, and may God bless America.